So life doesn't turn out the way you want. I know I'm not, like, I, that's not a surprise. Nobody's going like, really? Yeah, life does not turn out the way you want. Now, you're living in 2021. Well, you know what happened in 2020, so you know. I still laugh when I think about, and it shouldn't be funny, but I still laugh when I think about all the churches that did 2020 vision. Our church is going to take the world for Christ in 2020. And then they were closed for months. Yeah, dude, I don't know that you should be a prophet. I'm just saying, maybe that's not your day job. I remember thinking when I got about this age, son is in college, getting ready to finish this school year. He will finally be finished with his master's degree. Great kid. We've been so blessed as a pastor's kid. Has never caused trouble. I didn't give him anything to rebel against. What's he going to do, not drink a beer and not get tattoos? I didn't give him anything to rebel against. I remember thinking, finally, my wife and I can start doing some traveling. This is around 2019. I started planning out this sort of stuff. And then 2020 hits. I don't want to travel. I remember when I used to get into airplanes and drive or fly to Texas to see my parents. And almost always, about 3 days later, I'd get sick. Because I'm in this big metal tube and there's always someone sick. Dude, I'm not getting on. Like, if you do, that's fine. I'm not getting on an airplane now. I don't really want to. And plus, I got friends right now, people that are part of our church family, but they're in Germany, and Germany just went into lockdown mode. What if I go somewhere and then I'm locked down, or I go somewhere and then I can't come back? Not saying our political leaders are crazy. I'm just saying, what if it happens? Life doesn't always turn out the way you planned. My son was in elementary school. And it was a safe zone for him because he knew his friends. And like me, being somewhat introverted, he had planned on going to middle school with his circle of friends. And Dad intervened. I said, son, no, you're going to go to a different school. I need you in this school. It's better for you. I'm your dad. You're going to have to trust me. And he fought me, and he was mad. I mean, I really thought, I'm going like, Lord, please let this work out. Otherwise, I'm going to lose my wife and my son because neither of them were happy with me. But they were willing to go along. He wound up later thanking me, and that's cool, but life did not turn out like he planned. He had to go to a school where he knew absolutely no one. Man, that was hard. Yeah, life doesn't always turn out like you planned. She was going to get married. She's going to have lots of kids. It's a true story. Have tons of kids. And she's going to stay at home. And she had the perfect man. He said, baby, I want you to stay at home. I want you to raise the kids. It was going to be incredible and amazing. And after the first kid, he cheated on her and left her. Life don't always turn out like you planned. And now she's a single mom having to work. Knew a guy, he gave up his life for his company. I mean, he sacrificed. And it was always, yeah, we're going to get you up here and you're going to be this and you're going to have this job title and you're going to make like just incredible cash. You just got to grind right now. And man, he gave up weekends. He gave up nights. He didn't see his family. And when it looked like he was getting ready to get to that next level, the company closed. Offshored the jobs. Life don't always turn out like you want. And I realize I'm speaking to the choir. I get that. You guys know this sort of thing. They had plans. And while they were still young, a health problem changed everything. And now they're just trying to make it day to day. With no real plans, because who knows what's going to happen in the future. Yeah. No life goes according to plan. None of us said, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. If you get to a certain point, you go, yeah, that wasn't my plan. That wasn't what I thought. Wasn't I thought I'd be doing. No one experiences all their hopes and expectations. It doesn't work out that way. There is no perfect life and no situation that is perfect and exactly what you wish it would be. Israel was living in this in Jeremiah 29. Now, we're going to get to the Christmas story, but I need you to take a quick little detour with me. Jeremiah 29, famous, right? I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans of good and not evil to give you a future and a hope. We're going to get there. They're in Babylonian captivity. Here's what that means. Israel, specifically one of the kingdoms, because it's a divided kingdom, have been taken into exile. Southern kingdom, if I remember correctly, they're not in the promised land anymore. The land that their forefathers had fought so hard for, had gotten into, had been given by God. They're no longer there. They have forfeited that right because they have so gone after wickedness that God finally said, enough! And sent in Babylon and took them away. They're in captivity, and God, speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, says this. God says, I will visit you. I'll fulfill to you my promise. I will bring you back to this place, speaking of the promised land. In other words, as a people, you're not going to be here forever. I'm going to take you back to the promised land. It'll happen. For I know the, here's the verse, right? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. By the way, that's not a good coffee cup verse. I'll tell you here in a bit why. It's not. If you have the tattoo, have you thought about cover-ups? I know a guy who does some good ones. If you got that on your bumper sticker, I'm just saying, it's not a great verse for that. I'll show you why. I know the plans I have for you, plural, as a people, as Israel, as my chosen people, the ones that I'm in covenant with. It's not a promise verse from God for your individual life. There are other ones, but that's not the one you want to use. And by the way, when it says for good, just bookmark that. We'll come back to that at the end. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes, gather you from all the nations, all the places where I've driven you. I'm going to come and get you, and I'm going to send you back to the place from which I sent you. You're going to get back as a people to the promised land. Bookmark that. We will come back to that at the end. Their life is not turning out the way they wanted. Can you imagine? One of God's people. The Lord fights for you. You have all the stories of taking Jericho and the walls come tumbling down and all the rest of this, and you've lost that promised land. And all your hopes and dreams are tied to it. Your daughter, she was going to get married in Jerusalem. Your son was going to live next to you in that village that your family had been in for generations now, and they're not there anymore. That's where they are. It's a declaration of restoration to a people who are waiting anxiously. And they're discouraged, and they're tired, and they're unwilling to live until they get back to where they ought to be because life has taken them a different direction. Yeah. We're going to come back to that, but let's look at Luke 1. Let's look at the Christmas story. It's a great story. We always start not with Mary, but what happens right before that, and that's what we will start with. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah. So, got a guy, he's a priest, he's from the Levitical line. This is good stuff. And he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, also Levitical, came from the priestly line, chosen by God to serve him. So here's what you know immediately. They got a pedigree. These are from God's Levitical line. These are the priestly line. These are God's chosen people, chosen to serve him among his chosen people, Israel. And they were both righteous before God. That's a heavy statement, right? Walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. So I got this unassailable pedigree. And just in case you're wondering, they're walking this stuff out. They are completely faithful to the Lord. Yeah. And so if you're looking at them from the outside, you have to say, if you're a Jew living at this time, you'd have to say God's hand of blessing has to be on them. I mean, they ask and God answers. God blesses their faithfulness, because every Jew would have thought that at that time. Absolutely. And then the next verse is shocking. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren. And both were advanced in years. And what you've just heard is a faithful couple are infertile. And in that day, in that age, God blesses and opens a womb. And the more kids you have, the more blessed you are, especially the more male kids. I'm telling you that's what it was. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm saying that's what they thought. And if you didn't have kids, it was because God had cursed you. You had sinned, or your parents had sinned, and God was angry with you. And yet we just read priests, Levitical line, blameless, righteous. They got no kids, and the time has passed. She's advanced in years. I don't want to shock you, but there will come a time, women, where you can't have any more kids. You will know that time by how much heat suddenly hits you and how much you want to kill your husband or any men who are near you, right? You'll know. I'm just giving you a little wisdom, young guys. Watch out for it. Hang on. In about 30 years, all that'll pass. You'll be fine. It'll be okay. But I wonder, how many months did they spend wondering, oh, could this be the month, could this be the, only to be let down again? How many prayers did they offer? We know they prayed, because it's going to come up in the story. How many prayers, oh Lord, oh Lord God, we have fasted this month, could this be the, oh Lord. How discouraged do you think they were with God? You want to have kids. You had hopes and dreams when you got married, and those kids are going to be part of the Levitical line, and you're going to have priests. Little boys are going to be priests. Little girls are going to marry and be in that village. You're going to have grandkids. And you got all these hopes and dreams, and they got no kids. How disillusioned, how hurt. And I don't know if you know this or not, but good religious people can add to the pain, especially the self-righteous ones. You know, if you guys were walking right, God would have blessed you with a child. You're under some kind of curse. Y'all need to find out who sinned and confess that sin. By the way, I saw that happen in our day and time. A sister-in-law said to another girl, she just had a baby, she said to the one who was infertile, you know, if you would just find out what the curse is and confess it, God will open your womb. Oh, can I just tell you, even as a pastor, I wanted to slap her so hard that she became a man. I wanted her to transition based on my slap. I mean, are you kidding me? God did not do this to Mary. Just so you know, God did not, or to Elizabeth, God did not close the womb. Things happen to people physically because we live in a fallen world, and things don't work right. And that's just truth. But he also didn't intervene. He could have done a miracle. He didn't intervene. And we call them miracles because they're rare. If they happen all the time, we call them normal and we'd find an explanation for them. God didn't open the womb. Most of our discouragement with God, just while we're thinking about it, just so you know, it isn't with God. Most of our discouragement with God is not with God. Why didn't you open a womb? I never promised I would. Fallen world. Why didn't you save my husband? He died. Never promised that we all die. It's usually with our unspoken expectations of God. The God we've built up. Well, if he's God, he would. Says who? He defines who he is. Not you and me. And with our misplaced blame. I mean, if we're honest, sometimes the things we go through, and I don't want to freak you out, but sometimes the things you go through are because you're dumb and you made stupid decisions. Just so you know, I'm trying to encourage you today. Sometimes, that's why. But this is their life, and it's not what they ever would have wanted. They're older now. The dream is dead. She can't have a kid. And they're going to take care of each other until one of them dies and then the other will die. And that's their lives. That's what they got. Now, while he was serving as priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priesthood, and so his division of priest is called up. They go to Jerusalem, to the temple. They spend 1 week there. They serve. They do the things they need to do that are temple duties. So he has got 1 week there. He was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. It's this big moment, like you wait your whole life and maybe you get chosen. He gets chosen by lot, and he's going to go in, and this is his big moment, and he's going to pull out a Zippo lighter. Okay, they don't have that, but he's going to light the incense. As the people are outside, he's going to go into the holy place alone, light the incense, and then the people are praying, and their idea of that is as the incense goes up before the nostrils of the Lord, their prayers go up as a sweet offering as well. That's the idea. Same as the candles back there in a sense. So he's got his big moment. Big moment. It's a great honor. Go in, 2 seconds later, come back out. And a whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. Again, big moment. He's in there. He's going to light the thing. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar, a small little room, and boom, there's an angel. How'd you get here? And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. Let me translate. The word troubled means that it struck him with terror or dread. And the word for fear just multiplies that idea of terror. Yeah, like he's trembling, he's knee-knocking, he's not sure he can stay upright because this angelic being is right there before him. And when an angel appears in the scripture, you check me on this almost every time, there's fear. Why? Not just because they're an angel. They stand in the presence of Almighty God. And there's something about a being who is in God's actual presence. Yes, he lives in me. His presence is in me. I get that, but I'm talking about seeking and actually understanding the presence of God and knowing the presence. There's something about a being like that. Even if we're being honest, if you met Christians who spend so much time with the Lord that you just get near me, you're like, dude, you make me want God more. Yeah, it's not a put on. It's not something you can front. It just comes out of who you are. He is in the presence of Almighty God. He comes to Zechariah. Zechariah has got a holy dread upon him. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him. Fear fell upon him. And the angel said, they almost always say this, don't be afraid. All right, cool. Don't be afraid. It's okay. I'm not getting ready to kill you. We good. For your prayer has been heard. Huh? Dude, I got so disillusioned with God, I ain't prayed in months, years. What prayer? Kind of prayer are you talking about? And then he drops the hammer, and it's like just incredible. Your wife Elizabeth is going to bear you a son. And you go call, by the way, no name to get a baby book. No reason to get a baby book. We already got him named. You don't even have to worry about it, right? Go call his name John. I was kind of thinking, no, it's going to be John. Okay. But stop and think about this. Your prayer for way back, like decades ago, has been heard. And now she's going to have a kid. Let's do it this way. You order Chipotle from Uber Eats. Right? Anybody here ever order like to go and they bring it to you? It's an amazing thing. Don't do it. It'll cost you money. You get addicted. You don't even have to leave the house. They go all the way to Valley View Mall and they come all the way to the Bonsack area with your food. It's incredible. What an amazing world we live in. So you order Chipotle from Uber Eats, except it don't show up. And you look and there's no charge on your credit card. You call them, they got no answer. They're just you got no food. A year later, you're sitting down and you're having some dinner and you don't even order food to go anymore because they don't show up. And so you're sitting down and you're having your little Spam and your potted meat sandwich and your RC Cola, sad little thing. And there's a knock at the door. And it's Uber Eats with your Chipotle. Hey, you ordered this about a year ago. Just want to give that to you now. What? Like, are you kidding me here? You look, there's a charge on your car. That's this moment. Okay, you know you wanted that kid? Here's that kid you ordered. Dude, that was decades. Have you seen my wife? What? Yeah, remember what it said? They had no child. Elizabeth was barren. They were both advanced in years. It is no longer possible. First of all, she was infertile. Secondly, past the time. This is physical. This can't be done. It's no longer possible. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. You're going to call his name John. And you both will have joy and gladness. And that's good to know. I mean, that's cool. But know this, listen. The blessing of the miracle will not erase the pain of the past. It will bring joy today, but just so you know, when God blesses you, when something good happens, it doesn't mean that it erases all that you went through. Here's what you need to know about our God, though. What you went through, if you turn it over to him, is redeemed for your growth, your maturity, in becoming who he called you to be. He will take all of it and use it to grow you because that's how good our God is. But the pain's still there, right? You guys been through some pain. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's good to get blessed, but that pain is still there. If you believe, if you refuse to stay bitter and connected to your past, you can have joy in the present. Hey, Zechariah, you know all that pain, that discouragement, the whispers and the judgment of the good religious folks who are looking down on you in that village. I'm going to redeem it. That's the moment. And many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. He's going to be great before the Lord. He'll serve God faithfully. And because he's going to be great before the Lord, because he's going to be so fully devoted, connected, committed to God, others are going to rejoice. Hey, you want people to rejoice because of you? Get yourself fully committed and devoted to Jesus and watch what happens. Oh yeah, people will be against you too, but you're going to have that no matter what. You might as well choose the right people to be against you, fully devoted to God. And he says, many are going to rejoice. Here's what you need to know. The blessings of God are never just about you, ever. There's no such thing as God saying, I'm going to bless you, and it's only if you keep it to yourself. And that, hold on to your wallet. I'm not after your money. God says, hey, Zach, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless others through your blessing. Blessings are never meant to terminate on me, but to be shared with others so that they can be blessed. And sometimes it's just the joy of what God has done, and I tell others, and they get blessed through that, right? Just the excitement and the enthusiasm I have for God. Even if it's just joy and testimony to them. Okay, but what about this? What about the people who whispered, angel? Hey, thanks for the info. That's really cool. What about the people who whispered? What about the people who judged, who made it hard on us? I will bless everyone who believes. No exceptions. Not a single one. Because you serve a God who doesn't just bless the good people. And aren't you glad? Because if God just blesses the good people, Jesus never comes to this earth and dies on the cross for your sins and mine. Because there are no good people. There's Jesus. If we're in the Western, he's got the white hat, the rest of us have black hats, because none of us are perfect. None of us are holy and spotless in and of ourselves. Yeah. He's going to go on, he's going to say this, he must not drink wine or strong drink. He's got a type of a Nazarite vow on him. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. First of all, two things, I'm going to do it quickly. You don't say he can't drink unless you're in a society where it's normal to drink. Right? Just so you know, and that doesn't mean it's okay for you to, it's okay for them to. Some of us in here can and some of us can't and shouldn't, and we respect both. But the second thing, and this is such an easy, it's the pitch right over the plate, and you want to knock it out, but I don't really need to. I'm going to say it quickly, and it won't change anybody's mind one way or the other. I can't find anywhere in Scripture where God placed his Holy Spirit in a mass of tissue. He places it in people made in his image. You do with that what you want. He's going to fill John with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb, and we will see that next week. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. Oh, what an awesome thing. And he will go before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. What he's talking about is revival, to make ready for the Lord a people who are prepared. Why? Because the king is coming. King is coming, and he's going to get people ready through repentance. The precursor to the work of God is the repentance of his people. Listen, hear this, not those people out there. Some of us in the church get so churched in our way of seeing things, we adjust our halos and we say, man, those people out there really need to repent. Don't even know what gender they are. Messing around, people left and right, sleeping around, they got no clue. Those people need, no, you know what? When God wants people to repent, you know where he starts? His people. It's not those out there, it's us in here with our self-righteous attitudes and our pride and I got things all together. No, you don't. Your very next breath comes from God. If God has granted repentance, even that was a gift. If you believed in him, even that was a gift. Yeah. The precursor to the work of God is repentance of his people. Make ready for the Lord, people prepared. And Zechariah said to the angel, how am I going to know this? Look, I'm an old man, and this guy has a lot of wisdom. Here's how you know he's an old man, and he's got wisdom. He said, he didn't say my wife is old. He says she's advanced. He's, because if it gets back to her, he's a dead man. You know, he's an old dead man. He's in the grave. I'm an old man, and she's, you know, she has an auto parts store, she would be advanced. I'm just saying, she's a little further along than what you would normally expect. Yeah. Here's what he's saying. I don't want to get my hopes up, and I can't do this to my wife. I can't do this to her. She can't be let down again. She can't have hope and find out it's not true. I can't do it. I know that you're an angel. I know that I'm looking at a bona fide miracle, that I'm talking to you. I can't do this to my wife. This is pain speaking, and don't miss the second thing it is. It is the heart of a protective and loving husband. Men, that's what you're called to be. I don't care what your culture tells you. You're supposed to be protective. You're physically stronger. You can lean down, you can use a voice, and you could intimidate her. Don't you dare do that. You're supposed to use that strength to protect and watch out for. Hey, baby, I know you're going downtown at night. Can you call me when you get out of the car and we'll just talk as you go into that building? I want to make sure you're safe. Hey, honey, I'm here for you. What's going on? You're supposed to be protective and loving. You're called to it. First Peter, I forget the chapter, actually says that. And women, let him be protective and loving. I don't mean he should be counting the miles. That's crazy town. If you got that, that's a problem. Men, if you're doing that, cut it out. You're crazy. But you should be protective. Two things are at play here. Years of discouragement. Man, it's incredibly hard to serve while you're hurt and disappointed, and yet he's a priest and he's been serving all this time. And secondly, it's not physically possible. It ain't possible to be like 80 years old and be delivering a kid. Like when certain things, I don't want to freak you men out, but when certain things stop, she ain't having no more kids. She's going to have hot flashes and be angry at you occasionally. She ain't having more kids. By the way, that's when you do the wine and the chocolate, just so you know. You got a little ways to, I'm just saying there will be a day. And then just back up, don't make eye contact. It'll happen. Jesus meets us in our unbelief, and he meets us in the pain over what's happened, which is where he is, and the need for a miracle. Because as we say in here, and it is true, and we've seen it happen, dude, we're in a building that shows us it has happened. Impossible is God's starting point. We're in a theater, and this place has fallen through twice. And we pray, and Lord, we'd love this place. What do you want for us? Impossible is God's starting point. Some of us are trophies of his grace because we know where we've been. Impossible is God's starting point. But if we refuse to trust Jesus to show up in our pain and unbelief, if we rehearse what should be, our unmet expectations bring us to this. Real life comes to a halt. If I'm so tied to my pain and so tied to my past and my unwillingness to trust Jesus, real life today comes to a halt. It just ceases. While I wait, discouraged and hurting and wanting to give up, I can get so caught up in life. I can get so caught up in life that I miss the life I have. Listen, because I'm convinced there has to be some folks here that are like that. I get so caught up in what has happened to me back then and why it shouldn't have and how it's not fair and I wanted and somebody else, man, they're living. Why do I have to go through this health problem? Why do I have to have this in my life? Why do I? That I'm missing the people that are in my life today and the opportunities I have today and the faith I could exercise today. Let me say it again, a little louder for the people in the back. I can get so caught up in the life I wanted that I miss the life right in front of me and the opportunities I have now. And that's a crying shame. How you handle where you are is far more important than where you are. You don't get to choose where you are quite often. And even if you do, you probably made some left turns that you shouldn't have. How can I know? Angel, I'm old. My wife is advanced. Is this just another cruel trick? Like that month she was late and we just knew and, nah, she's just late. Why should I get my hopes up? I can't do this to my wife. Angel answers, I'm Gabriel. I love that he answers that, I'm Gabriel. I want to be that guy. I'm Brian. Everybody just laughs when I do that. I'm Gabriel. And I stand in the presence of God. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this gospel. That's what the word is, this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Now, it didn't happen this way. I'm sure it didn't. But in my head, I picture the first Matrix when Keanu Reeves can't speak. I just picture it that way. But the guy can't. How are you going to know? Because you ain't going to talk. I'm tired of hearing you. I'm Gabriel. You ain't talking no more. Just try talking. That's how you'll know. Yes, it starts now. I don't care. It started now. Now, the people are waiting for Zechariah. They're wondering at his delay in the temple. Like, should we have sent somebody else in? Is he, like, special? Should we have sent in a helper to kind of help him? Here you go, little buddy. Light the candle. Should we have done that? Like, why is he taking so long? And when he came out, he's unable to speak to them. And they realized he had seen a vision in the temple. No, you can't fly, little buddy. No, no. We think he might have seen an angel. Or he's on drugs. What kind of incense did we use? What was the CBD type of that? Like, yeah. And he kept making signs to them and remained mute. And when his time of service had ended, he went home. Back to the hill country. With his little advanced wife, Elizabeth. After these days, Elizabeth conceived. Oh, miracle of miracles. The impossible happened because God. Because God. And for 5 months, she kept herself hidden, and you know why, ladies. You're not going to show yourself and then lose the baby. You can't do that. So she spends 5 months just in the house. She's not among the townspeople. She's not talking to anybody around. 5 months, she stays hidden. And then after that, she's like, okay, it's been 5 months. I guess I'm okay now. Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach among the people. Man, she's overjoyed. Remember, it'll be a joy and a blessing for you. She's beginning to enjoy this. And it's crazy, this wrinkled little old lady with a belly that's swelling with a baby. How amazing is that? Physically, death is bringing forth life because that womb is no longer viable. Who is her vindicator? God alone. Whether he'd done this for her or not, you and I stand or fall before God alone. People are not your vindicator. Get this and live it. For her, the Lord has done for me to take away my reproach among the people. You don't need people for your vindication. God is, regardless. It's always the Lord. Oh, but I just need them. I need them to understand. I need them to like me. No, you don't. Man, you will exhaust yourself. You will wear yourself out trying to get everybody's approval. And you never will. I've met you. You got problems. No, you never will. God never forgot. And yet almost their whole lives are lived waiting. Right? They're now older now. They're grandparent age or beyond. Their whole lives are lived waiting. Unmet expectations, pain, discouragement, no children. And if they had put off living until they finally had a kid, or if they'd become so discouraged when they was no longer possible, they'd have wasted years and years. That you will wait, that there will be unmet expectations you may never receive in this life is a given. How you wait, while you wait, it means everything. It determines how your life goes. It's not where you are. It's what you do with where you are. And this is where Jesus shows up. If you refuse to become bitter and angry and comparing yourself to others, and how come they get? Well, listen, you don't know what else they got on them. And wishing your life away for what could have been. If only I hadn't married him. If only I hadn't married her. If only we had done that different with the kids. If only I had taken this job. I knew God wanted me to, and I didn't. If only, dude, you can if only yourself all the way into the grave and never experience life. This is where Jesus meets us in the hurt, in the pain, the disappointment, the fears of what we can't control. The prayer's been heard, Zechariah. The timing was the issue. I'm going to do what I don't have to do. I'm going to open a womb that cannot be opened and give you a baby you cannot have. And because of it, I'm blessing you, and through you, I'm going to bless your world, and it's all going to point to me and prepare people for my son. How amazing is that? Now listen, God doesn't just show up in the blessing. Let me say it louder for those in the back. God doesn't just show up in a blessing. God is there in the discouragement, the pain, the hurt, if we refuse to get bitter, and instead we look to him. Life doesn't just begin then. God is here now. Life is here now. Please, oh please, don't waste your life away. You know, I finally get that job, when we finally get the things paid off, when I finally get that next purchase, when we finally get that vacation, yeah, but in the meantime, what do you have in front of you today? Yeah, this is the day the Lord has made. I'll rejoice and be glad in it. What kind of sucks? Yeah, but it's what you got, and tomorrow may not come for you. This is the day you got. So Zechariah and Elizabeth are going to have a baby. He's going to be the last prophet before Christ comes, the last Old Testament prophet, and he's going to prepare the way for Christ. Now, let's go back. Let's do it quickly. Remember the people living in Israel? We started there. They're living in Babylon, the people of Israel. They're wanting to go back to the promised land. They're waiting for life to begin until they can get back to the promised land because they've been taken away. They are subjects, slaves, in a sense, in Babylon. Remember those folks? They're waiting because they are, because where they are is not where they should be. So they wait, and they're hurt, and they're discouraged, and they're paralyzed. They're waiting. Watch what God says in the rest of this. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Why are you here in this foreign country of your enemies as second-class citizens with very few rights? Build houses, live in them, plant gardens, and eat their produce. If I plant a garden, I mean, that's going to take, yeah, you're going to be here a while. Make your home here. And they're thinking, but this ain't home. This ain't the promised land. I'm connected to the promised land. I'm a Jew. True, but it's where you are now. And by faith, you can live fully wherever you are. Oh, you need to hear this. You and I are followers of Christ if you've come to know Jesus. The Bible calls you an exile and a sojourner, a traveler. Seriously, 1 Peter says it very clearly. This ain't home. This ain't where we get most of our rest. It's good. You can have some fun times. You can ride a mountain bike or go to a carnival, or you can enjoy yourself. That's cool. You can Netflix away. That's awesome. But this is where we work. The next life is where we get the rest. That's our Sabbath rest, according to Hebrews 4. The next life. This ain't home. But we can live right now fully while we're here. God goes on through the prophet. He says, take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Let me put it easier for you. Get busy living or get busy. Oh, yeah. Some of you saw the movie. Yeah. Shawshank. Get busy living or get busy. No, start living. You're just wasting your time. And I could just hear them now. I can hear these Israelites saying, yeah, but Lord, I've always wanted my daughter to get married in Jerusalem. It's the promised land. And I'm from that village, from that area, and we could travel 5 miles from Bethlehem to Jerusalem. And my daughter was going to get married there, and we had the plans, and I'm just going to wait. No. No. Don't make the kids wait to live. Live now, and make sure your kids get married among your Jewish brothers and sisters, so to speak, your tribes. Have kids. Live now. Multiply there and do not decrease. Have kids. Do this thing. Live fully now. And I can hear you and I saying, but it's a pandemic. I don't know, man. I went through the pandemic of the flu. I'm not trying to downplay. I am a little bit. I'm just saying. But it's climate change. Dude, I kind of like a warmer earth. It's encroaching socialism. Yes, it is. And people are robbing and killing. Yes, they are. Society is so bad. I agree. Don't they need more believers? Get some kids. Start living. Get busy. Don't hide in your house. Before that, there was the Depression of 08, 09, I think. Before that, there was 9/11 and terrorism. And oh my gosh, we're all going to die. And the shoe bomber and the underwear bomber. I'd like to have seen him blow up. And just, I think that would have been cool for him. And before that, there was the Cold War and kids hiding under desks because of nuclear bombs. There was the 60s and great societal upheaval and free love and plenty of drugs and Eastern religions. And before that, world wars. And before that, the Depression. Have kids. Live fully where you are right now. Pagans pull back. Pagans live in fear. You're meant for more. Live in faith. Have kids. Multiply. Live now where you are. And then he says this, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile. Pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Here's what he just told him. I want you to seek what is good for these people who brought you back to their land, who are your enemies, and who have made you second-class citizens and have destroyed your temple. Blaspheme the temple. Actually offered pigs on the altar of the Lord. That's what they did. Seek their good? Yes, seek their good. And then he says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans for good, not evil, to give you a future and a hope. And the word for plans there, or the word for good there is shalom. Seek their wholeness, their completeness, their healing, that which is best for them. He says, I have plans for you, plans for good. Plans for shalom, peace, wholeness, healing. I have plans for you. And I jumped ahead, here we go. But seek the welfare. That word for welfare is shalom. It's the same word. I have plans for you, plans for good, shalom. Seek the shalom, same thing, plans for good, for all the people around you. Yeah, but they're enemies. They're hostile. Yeah, seek their good. Because you live here, and where you live, what happens with them happens to you. Your future is tied to them. Oh, this is easy. Live fully where you are right now, Christian, in America. Seek its good. Yeah, but it kind of sucks. Yeah, seek its good. Seek what leads to human flourishing. Absolutely. Even in the pain and the hurt and the unmet expectations, seek for others what God has for you. Especially in the pain and the hurt, because that's part of your healing. Wherever you are, whatever's been done to you, however it's gone for you, seek the blessing of the place and the people, because your blessing is tied to it. So you seek to embrace life now fully and to be a blessing to those around you. For thus says the Lord, we're finished. Hang with me. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I'll visit you. I'll fulfill my promise to you and bring you back. You as a people, 70 years, you're going to be dead. Your children may be dead. But your grandchildren, that's why you start making babies. Because they're going to go back and they're going to experience that promised land. That's why you get busy living now, because you don't know what you're missing and what others would miss if you didn't. Yeah. Jesus meets us in the pain, the discouragement, the disappointment, the what could have been. And his call is this: embrace life and seek to be a blessing where you are. For your healing, your good, and the blessing of others. And you start this way. Start with trading in your expectation of Jesus. Well, you know, if you were a good God, you would have. Well, God, how come you didn't? Yeah, I got you. Jesus promised one thing, and nobody ever talks about standing on this promise. In this world, you'll have trouble. Standing on the promises of in this world, you'll have trouble. In me, you'll have peace. You're going to have trouble in this world. Trade him in for the real Jesus, who doesn't answer to us, but can meet us where we are. For some of you, that means coming to faith. Let me pray, and then I'll see if there's any quick questions or comments. Let me pray for you.